Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We read this in Sunday school as well this morning. Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and what you did on Calvary's cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a risen Savior. Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, heaven where you intercede in behalf of all those who come to you by faith. Lord, we thank you. We thank you today for the opportunity and privilege that you have given us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, that you've given all of us to be missionaries and witnesses, what you have done in our life. Lord, to proclaim the gospel message by which we were saved, to tell others, Lord, of what you did for them. Lord, I pray that you would burden us, Lord, that you would burden us to get more involved in reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, evangelizing our neighbors who live across the street and those on the other side of the world whom you love also. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering here today to proclaim your word and to praise your name. And we pray in all things that Jesus Christ would be exalted today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. What is biblical missions? Is it church missions program? Is it a certain mission board? Is it a certain formula or type of ministry? The Bible tells us right here in His Word what biblical missions is when He commanded that His church, represented here by His disciples at that time, go and teach all nations. That word teach means to make disciples. Christ commanded His church to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what biblical missions is. It's making disciples of all nations. By the way, that includes Clearwater and Largo, Florida, as much as it does Kenya and Brazil and the Philippines. God has commanded His people, His church. His church is made up of His people to be missionaries, to take the Word of God, to proclaim it in the ears of others that they might too come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, to baptize them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost, testifying of their salvation in Jesus Christ, and teaching them, discipling them in all things whatsoever Christ commanded His disciples and has recorded and preserved for us here, right here, in His Word today. Biblical missions that we are to be engaged in is making disciples of all nations. God has commanded that His church reproduce itself through missions. And reproduce itself it has. This church, this first fledgling church here that Jesus was speaking to in Matthew 28, was nearly 2,000 years ago. And here you are, sitting in a Bible preaching church. Most of you know the Lord Savior Jesus Christ is your Savior today. How did that happen? How did you get to know Him? How is it that Missouri Avenue Baptist Church exists? It's because those before us obeyed the command that God gave here in the Scriptures. And the church reproduced itself all over the world. And so we're here today praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're here preaching His Word. We're out and about hopefully every day being a witness so that our church might reproduce itself, that others might come to know Christ as Savior. There are three elements of missions that I wanted to focus on in our missions conference. I began this last Sunday morning, and the first one was on prayer. On prayer. Dare to care. Dare to care. Missions is not about the program. Missions is about obedience to the Lord in caring for the souls of people. You see, missions is about people. People for whom we must care. Souls that we pass every day that are on their way either to heaven or hell. And every last soul we pass is going to one place or the other. John chapter 4 and verse 35, we read together a few minutes ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." What do we say? Here's what we say. I'll do it what? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start praying tomorrow. I'll start going tomorrow. I'll start giving tomorrow. It's always about tomorrow. Why not start serving the Lord? Why not start caring today? Because tomorrow often never comes. We just put it off till the next tomorrow. Let's begin today. Let's begin this missions conference if you haven't. Begin caring about others around you. If you know the Lord Savior as your Savior, you do care. However, we allow other distractions to take away and rob us of the burden that God has placed in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. Maybe there's something today you need to take care of with the Lord and renew the zeal for the souls of others. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. They're all around us in the millions in Pinellas County and Hillsboro and nonetheless, in Kenya and in Brazil. Mark 6:34, Jesus said, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. When Jesus saw this crowd of people, and by the way, when he was up in Galilee, every day there was a what? As he got into his ministry, there was a crowd. Sometimes he tried to get away out of the city so he could rest and have a moment's peace. And guess what the crowds did? They followed him. And as he looked out on those crowds that had followed him, as he needed rest, as he needed peace, he didn't think, "Oh no, here they are again. Can't I just get a moment's peace?" No, when Jesus looked on the crowd, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He had what? Compassion. What does that mean? It means he loved them. It means he cared about them. Jesus didn't see them as we often see them. He didn't just step over them. He didn't just walk by them or go around them like the priest and the Levite, the Good Samaritan. They weren't obstacles in his path or cars slowing down his progress. He saw them as souls, lost, helpless, needing a guide, needing a shepherd, needing a Savior, souls for whom he came to die. They are still that today. But how do you see them? How do we think of them when we see them in our workplace, in the restaurant where we eat, across the street? How do we see them? Do we see them as souls who need a Savior? If we don't, there's a problem with us, because that's who they are, souls for whom Jesus died. I've asked this before. The only reason Jesus died was to take you to heaven. Where would you be? You would be in heaven, but you're not. He's left you here to be witnesses for Him. Do you care enough, first of all, to pray? Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you care enough to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest? More people like the Spites and the Halsteads and the Interlines? More people like you and me to our neighbor across the street? You see, God has called us all to be witnesses. Our callings may be a little different, but in reality, they're all the same. He has called us to be laborers in His field. Would you pray that God will send more? Will you pray that God will send you? Will you pray for those whom God has sent? Ephesians 6:19, and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's not just about giving. Yes, we're talking about giving. Missionaries do need financial support, but every good missionary will tell you that what they need most of all are the prayers of God's people, because souls don't get saved by their power. They get saved by whose power? God's power. And they need our prayers. They need our prayers for strength and wisdom and guidance and for the souls to whom they preach and teach. Would you dare to care enough to pray for those whom God has sent? To pray for God's power as the gospel goes out. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Paul said, would you pray that as the gospel goes forth, it will change people's lives just like it changed yours? That the Holy Spirit will take it and reach people's hearts as He did yours, and that others will come to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as they say their Savior too. Would you care enough to spend this year some time every day in prayer for a missionary? To spend some time every day in prayer for a neighbor. When you think about it, God hasn't asked much of us. Jesus did the hard part. The least we can do is take a few minutes out of each day to pray for those who need Jesus. Do you care enough to pray? Number two, dare to obey. What has God commanded us to do? Well, God has commanded us to go. Then said Jesus here in John 20 to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so what? Send I you. Christ obeyed the command of His Father, and He came. And He came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to open the door to heaven for all who come to Him by faith. Now Jesus says to His disciples, as the Father sent me and I obeyed, now so send I you. And you is not just them. You is also who? You is us. God has sent you to your neighbor. God has sent you to your coworker. God has sent you to the waiter or waitress that brings your food at the restaurant. God has sent you. Go. It's a matter of obedience. Mark 16:15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That go is imperative. It's a what? It's a command. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What is biblical missions? Well, it's daring enough to care and to pray. It's also obedience to go. Not just to send the Halsteads and the Spites and the Innerlines, the other missionaries that we support, but to go yourself to the person that God wants you to go to. Who is that person? Who are those people? Maybe God has placed somebody on your heart this missions conference. Will you obey and go? He has called you to, every one of us. When I was in college, over the summers, I worked in a tire factory. I hated it the first summer. I despised it. I worked night shift. It was terrible. I don't remember that summer. It was just all a big blur. The second summer, I was determined I wasn't going back to the tire factory. I was going to get a different job. Didn't work out. I ended up back at the tire factory again. You know what I decided that summer? Lord laid it on my heart to consider the tire factory not a job, but a what? Mission field. You know something? It changed that summer and the next two summers of my life. I didn't see a bunch of my coworkers get saved, but what I did have was the opportunity to share Christ with them. What I did have was the opportunity to show them what a Christian was like. When you think of your job, when you think of your neighbors, when you think of your pastimes as a mission field, it'll change your outlook on life. God has called you to that field. God called me to the tire factory. He called me to a nursing home ministry in college where I played my guitar and went around from room to room and sang hymns and told people about Jesus and got to preach some. He called me to pass out tracts on Main Street in Greenville, South Carolina. Called me to be a youth pastor for 12 years in Byron, Georgia. And I've been here for over 12 years now in Clearwater, Florida. And I've never one day regretted obeying the Lord. What I do regret is few opportunities, several opportunities I've missed along the way. And I wasn't walking in the Spirit like I should have been. But I don't regret one day of service and ministry for my Lord. Maybe the Lord hasn't called you to be a missionary around the world or a pastor or even a Sunday school teacher, but you see, you can be a mission field in a tire factory or in a nursing home, or you can pass out tracts wherever you are. God has called you to go. He has called us to go with a testimony as witnesses. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When we talk about missions program and faith promise missions, we think about the uttermost part of the earth. And it's about that. But part of the uttermost part begins where? Here, in our Jerusalem. It begins with going wherever God has called us to go and to whom God has called us to go. With a testimony of what God has done. You say, but Pastor, I haven't studied yet and I don't know everything. Guess what? I still don't know everything. There are people that are much better. Evangelism, maybe even I know than I am. But you know, I have something I can share. I have the Word of God and I have what Jesus done in my life. And you can share what Jesus did in your life. You know how you got saved, just tell somebody else. And then take time to study, get to know God's Word better so that you can be a better witness and testimony. Testimony is not only in word, but the testimony is also in deed. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the Halsteads and the Spites, they're not just missionaries when they're standing in a pulpit. They're missionaries when they're talking with their neighbor. They're missionaries when they're at the grocery store getting food. They're missionaries wherever they are. They represent Jesus Christ. So do you. What kind of testimony do we have? Maybe there's something that needs to change there. And then, of course, the message, and the message is the gospel. If nothing else, you can take tracts off the back table back there, and you can give them to somebody this week. You can proclaim the gospel hardly without opening your mouth at all. There was a church that my parents belonged to in Virginia. They had a soul-winning ministry. Not all that many people came out, which is sadly often the case. But one man was faithful every week. Out of that church, more than any pastor, he witnessed to more people than anyone else. His name was Junior Poe. His son spoke in our conference last year, John Poe. He is a missionary with Baptist Mid-Missions. Junior Poe couldn't read, but he memorized soul-winning verses, and he underlined them in his Bible. And he would take his New Testament, and he would point to them, and he would quote it. The people he was talking to never knew he didn't know how to read. But he led more people to the Lord and witnessed to more people for Jesus Christ than anybody else in that church. And by the way, it rubbed off on his son, didn't it? You know, the Lord is good. And you say, Pastor, I can't do it. Well, if Junior Poe can, you can. You can hand him a tract. You can invite him to church. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Invite them. I'll present the gospel to them. Invite them to come. But if you don't invite them, chances are they're not going to come. If you haven't noticed, they're not beating down the doors to get in here. You say, but Pastor, I invite them and they don't come. Well, invite them again. Invite somebody else. Keep inviting them. Guess what? They will come. They will come. Terry and Benjamin were here for the International Supper last evening. They brought a couple that were staying at the motel where they work at, and they brought the motel owner's son, Patrick, with them yesterday evening. I know Patrick for sure probably does not know Christ as his Savior. They just simply invited them, and guess what? Somebody came. Invite them to come in. You can witness in tracts. You can invite them to church. You can witness in a Sunday school lesson, over a meal, as a testimony, in a sermon. But go with the message of the gospel. Dare to obey. And then dare to trust. Dare to trust. Dare to give. To give. Now, when we think of giving, you think, okay, Pastor, here we go. We're on money. Yes, we are. Money's important. But not just money. But also in this verse, Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Dare to give of your energy. Reaching others for Jesus Christ takes what? Effort. Anything worthwhile is going to take effort. But let me ask you, is it worth your effort? Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you. Yes! I hope the answer is yes. Souls, men and women, boys and girls, on their way to hell, are they not worth our effort? Worth our effort to learn how to play a certain game or to get good at a certain sport or learn a certain skill, things that are often just passing away. Souls are passing away, but they don't just vanish. They'll spend eternity somewhere. Are they not worth our effort? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Give of your effort, your energy. Give of your time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are short. The world is evil. People need Jesus. It's going to take time. Can you set aside some time? Mackenzie, she couldn't be here today. She was working, but some of you know the young lady that got saved during our revival meetings, and she needs to be discipled, and we've been trying to get her discipled, and this past week she came to us and she said she wants to start that, and praise the Lord. You know something? That was an easy decision for my wife and I to find some time to spend with Mackenzie. It's worth every minute of it. You know something? We could use a little bit of help. Can you find some time? When the Good Samaritan stopped to help the man alongside the road, you know what that cost him? It cost him some energy and it cost him some what? Time. Cost him some time. Was it worth it? Yeah, people are always worth it. Souls are worth it. They are. Would you be willing to give of your time? And then would you be willing to give of your finances, of your provision for the Lord? It does take money to run church ministries, to buy gas, to pick up people, to pay the staff, to buy tracts, to pay the light bill, to support missionaries. It does take money. And guess what God, among other things, has given us? He's given us money. He's given us finances. What's the purpose in those finances? Why has God given you money? Why has God given you the opportunity to earn money? What's it for? Is it for us to amass in the bank and feel secure in our money? Is it in order to fulfill our fleshly desires? And is it so we can get more and impress our neighbors? Is it so we can have great luxury? Is that the purpose for which God has given us money? Or has He given us money as a tool to be used in His service? Now, part of that is putting a roof over our head, providing food and clothing for our family. It's a tool to be used for that. But it's also a tool to be used to reach others for Christ, to buy the tracts that are back there on the table, put gas in our car to go out and tell somebody about Christ or pick them up and bring them to church, to give to missions for these missionaries so they can go because they can't work jobs in many of the countries in which they go. Frees them up to spend their time knocking on doors and preaching the word and praying and teaching. What a privilege we have to be part of the ministry of these that are represented by the flags on the side of our podium. When souls come to Christ in these countries, we're part of that. You can be part of that. But you... would you give a little of what God has given you to help them as a tool? 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. Yes, this is the last passage we're reading. I know we're past time. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's just the rule of sowing and reaping. If you sow just one row of corn, you're not going to get nearly as much if you sow 10 rows of corn, are you? The more you sow, the more you what? Reap. And if we sow little in telling others the gospel, if we sow little of our time and energy, if we sow little of the finances that God has given us to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then few souls are going to be saved. But if we're willing to put more time and more energy and more finances that God has given us to reaching others for Jesus, more souls are going to be saved. Isn't that right? God's not talking about if you give me $100, I'll give you $1,000. It's not about money. It's about souls. And if you give bountifully, we will reap bountifully souls. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is God asking? He's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me with your energy? Will you trust me with your time? Will you trust me with your finances? I will take care of you, and I will take what you give, and I will multiply it in the souls of men and women, boys and girls. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And this is kind of the verse that's the centerpiece of the giving part of Faith Promise Missions. Paul was taking up a special offering to take back to the saints, the churches in Jerusalem, that had been praying for him to be of help to them. We take up a special offering, so to speak, every Sunday for missions, to reach people on the other side of the world through these missionaries that God has called. For they need Jesus Christ. And God hasn't said, I want you to give 5 or 10 or 20%. God hasn't told us. What God has asked us to do is to ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to give? That's what that card is about. To ask God what you would have Him to give. To write something down this month. Say, Lord, this is what I want to give every month. You can always give more, by the way. But just as a minimum, God, this is what I feel you've called me to give, and I trust you with it. I trust you to reach souls for Jesus Christ. It says, my faith promise, in dependence upon God, I will pray for and give to world evangelism through Missouri Avenue Baptist Church so much each month or each week. I understand that I will not be billed for this. It is a faith commitment between me and God. A matter of fact, we used to take these up, but we don't even do that anymore. All we ask is that you consider and pray and ask God what He would have you to give. The people here are very giving. We've been able to support these 10 missionaries. But you know something? We can do more. Maybe the Lord wants you to give more. Maybe the Lord wants you to start giving. Maybe you're new to the church. Maybe you've been here a while and you just haven't felt the need. Maybe God has impressed on your heart the need today. For people need the Lord. And God wants you to fulfill the Great Commission. God wants you to do your part. Would you care enough to pray? Would you care enough and be obedient to go? And would you trust Him enough to give? He'll bring the increase. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for the missionaries we've heard from those we'll hear from tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts what you've impressed upon their heart, a zeal for souls who need the Savior. Lord, we've been a little lax, I'm afraid, in that area here in our own community. I pray, Lord, that you would change our heart. I pray, Lord, that we would be caring, that we would pray, Lord, that we would go. We would not be ashamed of the gospel. Lord, we would be bold in sharing it. That we would see people as you do, souls who need a Savior. And Lord, that we would be willing to give more of ourselves and of our finances to reach others for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for the souls that have been saved. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that will be. And the opportunity, Lord, to be part of the fulfillment of that which you called your disciples and your church to 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been faithful, that we might sit here tonight knowing you as Savior. Pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to carry that on. And dependence upon you and the power of the Holy Spirit, caring about souls for whom you died. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.